Welcome back to Barely Serious. You're about to listen to episode 237. But before we get into the podcast, I got to plug July 12th. Kind of far out, but it's a big one. Bend, Oregon. I'll be headlining at the Capitol in Bend, Oregon. Now, it's been 2 years since I've been out there and headlined there, so I need y'all there. I know it's been a while. Y'all been hitting me up. And I am coming. Not because you were hitting me up, but because my aunt died, and I'm giving a eulogy at a funeral the next day, which you could also come to. But you have to pay for your own food. Anyway, buy a ticket. BendTicket.com. Bend, Oregon, July 12th. Coming out. Let's have a good old time. And with that out of the way, enjoy this episode. Welcome back to Barely Serious. This is episode 237. I'm chilling out here. Oh, don't mention where we are. I always forget to tell people before we start recording to don't, like, say the actual location of where I live. Because it's a very obvious spot. You could talk about landmarks, but don't say exactly what I live above. With that out of the way, or I don't know, I'm here with Garrett Fitz.
Hey!
With that out of the way, I jumped back into the promo.
Yeah, we were talking about the promo and how crazy it was that you hyped up your aunt's funeral and your eulogy for your promo. Pretty fucking cool, though, man. And
it's a celebration of life. It's a celebration of life. It's not a funeral. I feel like that has
No, those are good, dude. I like
negative
a celebration
connotation.
Of life. It definitely does, because death's hard to deal with, that's for sure. But, you know, if it's a celebration of life, it's the exact opposite. That's what my mom wants. I kind of want the same thing whenever I die. I really want to have a Viking funeral when I die.
What's that?
It's where
just pass
I
your
just
body
get,
around?
No, that would be weird, but this would be cooler. It's also weird. You put your body on a giant fucking mound of wood and push it into a river.
What river would they throw you in?
I don't know. We got to figure that out.
Lady Bird Lake.
And then I'm going to have my cousin he's a really good archer. I'm just going to have him shoot a flaming bow.
Talking to the microphone.
Shoot a flaming bow right into the fucking pyre and light my ass up.
that's really how you
want to
go?
That's how I want to. Yeah, that's what I want my funeral to be. And then for my body to like roll up to the other side of the bank and then make a huge forest fire. that's exactly how I want to go, dude. Yeah, no. Fun stuff, but yeah, no. Bend, Oregon, huh? That's where you're going?
Bend is pretty dope.
I've never been.
I was like an honorary member of the comedy scene up there just on accident.
Yeah.
It was 2019. I went up there because my grandma lives there and my aunt lived there. And so I was up there like visiting them, and I matched this like open micer girl on Tinder.
Oh.
And she was like, "Hey, come to this like open mic." And I was like, "All right." So I showed up thinking I was gonna like fuck. But instead, I ended up just doing the open mic, and it was weird because there was five comics signed up. There was five comics signed up for this open mic, and 60 real audience members there. Like, it was the thing in town that night. And so Jesus. I did, like, 20 minutes at this open mic and, like, killed. And they tried. They were like, "Yo, can you, like, feature on this show tomorrow?" And I said no. It was the only time I've turned down a gig.
Turned down a show, yeah.
I turned down the gig because I had to drive back to Orange County the next day so I could be home in time to watch the Colts playoff game.
Oh, my God. Yeah, sports do come first.
And the Colts went down like 30 in the first half, and it just wasn't worth
Wait,
it
was that
all.
The one they came back in, though? Where
no.
It was like that crazy?
No, this was 2019. They got blown out.
So they got blown out.
They got blown out in the first round, and I said no. But the guy gave me his contact information. He was like, "Anytime you want to come back, let's do a show." So I arranged a show, came back, and then another producer I did three shows, three separate times, and they were all sold out.
Very
and,
cool.
But she ended up being weird.
Yeah, she's
like,
an open micer?
No, the producer who like sometimes okay. tries to do comedy or whatever. She was just like this big old lady who at first was nice, but then she got on this weird like not anti-LGBT or whatever, but like pro-LGBT to the point where the last show that I did for her, she goes and up and before the show starts, and you know, I'm doing like an hour.
Yeah.
And there's like two local openers, and she goes up there and she was like, "Now I just want you guys to know that there's going to be no jokes tonight about race. There's no jokes tonight about like LGBT. Oh. There's no jokes about this and that." And I'm sitting in the back like, this
fuck
is,
off.
I was like, this is news to me.
How can
hell?
You be a comedian and not say what you want? That's the
and,
whole
like,
point.
And
of
she
this.
Was saying they're like, even if it's pro or anti, We're not even going to talk about gay people. We're not even going to talk about black people. So, of course, in the middle of my set, I did 30 minutes on... I did every gay joke I've ever written. I did every black joke I've ever written. I did every Mexican joke I've ever written. I swear, I did like 30 minutes.
So they invited you back to be a regular.
No. And so after the show, I go to get my money. And there was like, you know, a share of the tips or whatever. She goes, I'm not giving you your share of the tips. I'm going to donate your share of the tips to a LGBT charity or some crap like that. And I was like, you have lost your mind. You have lost your mind.
What a fucking bitch, dude.
And she was
are
like,
you serious?
Yeah.
She took away your money?
She goes, oh, just the tip part. She paid me what I was owed.
Okay, cool.
And so she goes, when I walked up, by the way, the crowd loved it.
Yeah.
I had a good set. It was great. And so then she goes, you realize you burned this bridge, right? And I was like, no. Like, what are you talking about? And then she said all this shit, and I was like, all right, well, I literally in her face took the money, and I said, I'll see you nowhere. Dude. And I turned around, and I left. And then ever since then, I guess she's been, like, run out of the town because everybody got sick of it. And it's just like, so now I'm coming back for the first time in, like, a year and a half after that with a different producer. I'm really excited. They're doing this thing. It's called, like, Bits and Skits. Is what it's called, where they do like sketches and stuff and stand-up comedy in the middle of it. The show that I'm doing there on the 12th is just pure stand-up.
Yeah.
There's a girl, I guess she's like pretty new. Her name's Skylar King.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. We just followed each other, and some of her clips are kind of funny.
Okay, cool.
But I mean, she's just, I think, like a brand new girl, but she seems to have pizzazz.
And your whole family's going to be there.
Family's going to be there. And then there's this other guy featuring. His name is...
So are you going to do all of your racist jokes?
No. No,
and gay jokes.
I only
for them too.
No, I only did that shit just because she said that we're not allowed to talk about it. I was like, you're not gonna tell me what to do on my own show.
Do you have like material that you're gonna put that you've already like, all right, this is what I'm gonna do for the fam right now?
Yeah, I'm just gonna do my road hour.
Okay, cool, man.
Actually, I think I'm doing 45. There's a guy, Harbour, that's doing 20, and then Skylar King's doing 10, 20, nice. And then I'm doing 45. But this venue, I think we can put 200 in it. That's why I'm promoting it so early.
200, that's a lot. Because
there's going to be like 40 members of my family there probably. I don't know if they show
that's
up.
That's a shit ton of people.
It's a celebration of life. Like the whole. That's why the funeral's so far away, is so that everybody could make arrangements and be there. It's going to be like a family reunion type thing where, you know, the funeral's on Friday.
That's really cool. Honestly.
Saturday we're going to the lake and stuff like that.
That is very, very cool. Hopefully I can bring that up the next time one of my other aunts dies.
Like, hey, we should go have the funeral
in
New York.
We should wait 2 months.
So I can get booked.
we should go do a show we should go to Orlando. Because we got a bunch of comics I know out there. We can just do a show. That's fantastic, though, man. I'm super happy for you. Again, it's a good thing that's happening. Are you excited to perform in front of your entire family, though? That seems kind of stressful, man.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm excited. I'm excited for them to see what they say they're proud of, but haven't seen.
Oh, man. My aunts and uncles came out to my show this last year, and they were fucking... They had a great time, they told me, but they were also coming up to me and being like, are you okay?
Really?
Yeah, they were like, well, we did... I was wearing a dress, so... I was wearing a Mrs. Santa outfit while I was hosting the show. So they were like, holy shit. They're also like, you know, very concerned about if I would be gay.
Awesome.
And cool. I started off life very, I was like, I love my mom. She told me I was like 3 years old and she came into the living room one day. She knew I wasn't gay because I was three and I'd figured out how to pause the VCR. And I think I was watching Neon Flux or whatever with, what's the girl from really hot chick, Charlize Theron.
No idea.
Peak Charlize Theron titties, dude. I like paused her naked scene and I was like trying to grab the tits on the TV. She's like, all right, well, we figured this one out.
That's funny.
I think we know where, Garrett.
Or she fucking just breastfed you too long and you were hungry.
Oh, yeah, dude. I guess so, man. My mom has some knockers, so.
Okay. All right.
Are we gonna get into? Are we gonna get into my mom's tits?
No, but speaking of, okay. So, did I tell you that like a week ago. This is the first podcast I've done in a week. And so like a week ago, I almost got stabbed by a hooker at Sidebar.
What?
Did I tell you about that?
No. A hooker? There's I think hookers at Sidebar?
I think she was a hooker. I don't know. So I was playing this. Me and my buddy Jacob.
She was at least a whore.
She was something. She had like tats and like fake tits. And like you could tell her face had been punched a few times. Okay. Yeah, she just looked. She was like, if that wasn't a hooker, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
That's what she looked like. Yeah. And but I didn't even. So I was playing pool with Jacob and this homeless guy wanted to play pool, and we're like, all right. And he's like, I'll go find a partner. So this fucking homeless dude, whose name was, by the way, his name was Wolverine.
A homeless dude named Wolverine?
He was like, my name's Jack, but you can just call me Wolverine.
What's up with homeless people having these nicknames? My other homeless guy that I'm friends with over by the creek, his name's The Hobbit.
Well, that one makes sense. Hobbit, dude. Have shoes.
We got, yeah.
But the Wolverine, I was like, yo, what the hell? I was like, dude, nobody.
The Wolverine.
No one.
You got to put the in front
of it. Nobody named this guy this. This guy saw a commercial once and was like, that's me. I'm him.
What's your name? The Wolverine.
Pretty sure the movie's called Logan, but go off. You know, it's like, where'd you even get that from? He's like, what, do you fucking regenerate? I can see you don't have muscle mass.
So how did this happen? Did the Wolverine just actually pull out some claws from his hands?
I wish.
The prostitute lady do that?
So he's like, I'll go find a partner. He goes outside, like out back, comes back in 3 minutes later with this like hooker lady. And I was like, all right, whatever.
Gross.
We played the game. And me and Jacob were like, okay, this could be our last game. We're on our last drink. You know, it's like 1 a.m. or whatever. And somehow we lose. The Wolverine beats us. He solos us.
I'm sure, yeah.
And so we're like, all right, good game. We're going to go outside. So we go outside. We go out back. We're sitting at a table. And then the hooker and the Wolverine come outside. And the chick walks over to us. And we're minding our own fucking business sitting at a picnic table out back of Sidebar. And she goes, and they're standing there like over us. Like they're behind Jacob across the table from me. And she asks me if we knew him. She's like, oh, are you guys friends with him?
The Wolverine.
The Wolverine, yeah. She goes, are you guys friends? And I go, I was like, nah, we just met this guy. And then this is how I say it. This is how I say it. Totally kidding. This is how I said it. I go, no, we just met this guy. But I saw his dick in the bathroom. You should totally check it out. It's huge. Just like that. You should check it out. It's huge. Yeah. Like that. So me and Jacob were kind of chuckling or whatever. The Wolverine guy, he's laughing. And then she is just like.
She did some crazy shit, I'm assuming.
She goes, just dead stone face. Right? And she's staring at me. She's like, you think that's fucking funny? And I was like, yeah, kind of. And she was like, she looks at me and she's like staring daggers at me. And she goes, you know why that's not funny, right? And I look up at her and I go, no, tell me why. And then she snaps her fingers at the homeless guy, the Wolverine, and goes, go inside. Snap, go inside. And like a dog going to bed.
What the fuck?
He just walks inside, like with the tail between his legs. And me and Jacob, like, we, you know, like how you side-eye your friend? Immediately, the second he walks away, we just looked at each other, like, side-eyed, like, what the fuck? And then she puts her purse down on the table. She's still across the way from me, and she grabs something. She grabs something out of the bag, out of her purse, and then she goes to like sit down next to Jacob. And then she gets up, comes around the table to try and sit down next to me, concealing something in her hand. And then I get up because I'm like, "Fuck
what
this!
The fuck?
I've seen, you know, I'd be a fool to let her
stab you,
stick me with a hepatitis needle or something, or whatever's in her hand, a little knife or something. Whatever it is, whatever is about to happen, I don't want it."
What's crazy is that it wasn't even, you weren't even talking to her. You were just making a joke about his cock.
Yeah, I was like, I was trying to help him out.
Just trying to help.
I was trying to help him out. And so then she comes and she sits down next to me.
Full crazy.
And before she even sits down, and oh, she hasn't said a word since telling him to go inside. And so I'm like,
holy
all right.
Shit.
All of this is maybe a span of 15 seconds. And so I get up and I start walking away and I go, all right, well. And I just get up just like that. And she goes, yeah, you better fucking run. And I just turned around. I just walked inside, closed out, and then we left. And then she follows us outside, and I noticed her following us. And I was like, all right, well, we got to go to Creek then. And so I went into Creek because, you know, they have the door people there that are not going to. Like, I walked in. I was like, hey, this hooker is following me. And whoever that guy was like, what? And I was like, there's hookers following me. And he's like, all right. And then she just never walked inside. And I was like, all right, cool. Yeah, but I was like, yo.
That's terrifying, dude.
Yeah. I didn't even say anything crazy.
No, but you just said something a little bit off-putting to the wrong crazy person, man. That's some Houston shit.
I was telling...
some Houston shit. That's some shit that would happen in Houston.
She's probably from Houston.
Yeah, that's probably what it was.
I was telling Craig Fergola about it because I ran into him at Creek right after that, and I told him, I was like, yeah, I didn't do anything. And he was like, you realize that, like, regular people don't, like, talk to, like, people like that? Like, but you said that's like a regular person.
Yeah, no, he does make a point. He does make a point. You probably shouldn't have made that joke. But also at the same time, it's like, hey, it
have
was
a sense
just
of humor.
A joke,
like,
man.
I'm not. I didn't. It's not like I sat in there and was like, you should let him rape you. Like, that's what she acted like. All I said was, you should check it out.
Yeah, dude, that's ridiculous.
It was crazy.
I don't understand. Like, I understand how that kind of situation can happen in Austin. It's just changing so much, man. A bunch of crazy fuckers here.
Well, dude, I don't even know. Have you ever
full of crazy people now?
Have you ever paid for sex? Low.
Paid for sex? Have I ever gotten a hooker? Of course I have.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't even know where to look.
Well, in Vegas, they're everywhere.
Well, that's what I was talking to Mike about, but he said, because you know Mike's a big old fat dude. He said that they just come up to him. I've never been approached.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's like the ultimate compliment, actually.
I mean,
they look at me and they're like, this guy gets laid enough that he's not going to pay for it. You think that's what they think?
I don't think that's it at all.
Well, then why don't they approach me, but they approach him? We were there together.
Fat guys have money, usually. It's why they're fat, you know? That's what it comes down to. If you can't get that fat also without having some bread, dude. You know what I mean? You got to eat a lot. Yeah.
Fair enough.
So, you know, that's definitely what that is. But usually, like, when it happened to me, I was also in college in Tijuana, Mexico.
Good place.
That was the one place that ever happened. And I did not want to actually have relations with this hooker. The situation was that...
You paid her for friendship?
No. So... No, well, I paid her for a blowjob. But the situation was as such that I ended up like, I didn't want to be there in the first place. Everybody was celebrating me leaving back to Texas.
They were celebrating that?
Well, I had been managing this dispensary for like 3 years, and I'd been growing weed out in Temecula. When I lived in California.
Temecula.
And so my aunt got sick. And so when that happened, I was like, well, I'm going back to school and I got to go take care of my aunt. So they were like, we're going to have you a going away party. And so my boss owned this sick sushi place on the square in San Diego. If you've ever been to San Diego.
Yeah.
You know what the square is. It's just kind of like the R6th Street here.
You're talking about Gas Lamp?
The Gas Lamp District.
Okay, yeah.
Yes. It's just a big... Square.
Three comedy clubs on the Gas Lamp Quarter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. The Laugh Factory. Is it Laugh Factory?
There's a Laugh Factory now.
Uh-huh.
Madhouse.
Madhouse. Madhouse.
American Comedy Co.
And American Comedy Co. And the only one I've ever been to is the La Jolla Comedy Store.
That's
which
not
is not
on
the...
Yeah,
it's not on the Gas Lamp, but the story is...
I had one of the craziest...
What was that? What?
Craziest follows of my life at the La Jolla Comedy Store. I'll let you finish your story and I'll tell you after.
Yeah, no, so we all went out to this sushi place. We bought, my boss was just like, get whatever you want, anything he wants for free. I was like, even this $450 bottle of sake, he was like, get four of them. I was like,
what?
Let's go. I was like, let's fucking go. So I am blackout drunk, and at some point, it's like 1 o'clock. We're in a car to Tijuana, and I was like, "What?
Oh,
the
you
fuck?
You weren't even.
I'm hammered drunk. I just have browning in and out. I'm like, but I knew
you weren't
like,
even there.
I was mentally no.
No,
physically,
I mean like
I went.
This story doesn't start in Tijuana, is what you're saying?
No, it does not start. We were drinking hard
in San Diego. How far
and
is that
then
drive?
And we were like, we're going to Tijuana, and I was like. Like, that's when I was like, oh, my life might be in danger. I mean, my brain, like, reawoke. And I was like, okay.
Do you have a passport?
No, you don't need a passport to go down there. You just need a state ID. So, if it's there and back, like, overnight or, like, a couple of days.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. and you can just walk right across the border with your ID. So we went
like a driver's license.
Mm-hmm. We parked, went to the bridge, which is a big thing. You have to get like either a pedicab or you got to walk like a mile to the bridge. We walked across, and then we went to like three or four different places, and they were fucking all crazy, dude. I'm not gonna tell you on the podcast what kind of shit I was seeing, but it was wild. And I went there, and I just remember being like, I want to see a cockfight, and I want to see a donkey show. It's like, I'm in Tijuana, and I'm hammered drunk. I want to see all the crazy shit. But I kept being told that they don't do that anymore in Tijuana because people would get hammered and then go down there and be like, let's see some crazy shit. And that's what they were getting known for, so they put an X-nay on it. Apparently, there are a couple places that still do it. But
cockfights?
Cockfights and donkey shows.
What's a donkey show?
Girl getting fucked by a donkey.
You're lying.
You don't know what a donkey show is, dude?
No.
Yeah, that's
when
a donkey
you said
show.
Donkey show, I thought like you meant like a petting zoo.
No. Well, kind of. It's kind of a petting zoo. They're petting something on the donkey.
How does a donkey even know to fuck the girl?
Oh, I'm sure that donkey knows what's up.
I don't think so.
I'm sure that donkey knows what's up, but my friends were like, it's just a sad situation. You don't want to do that. And I was like, yeah, you're right. But at the same time, I kind of want to just be there for the experience, you know? Just be like, yeah, I did some really crazy shit in Tijuana one night. But I got enough of that anyway from the debauchery that I witnessed and then was told to do. So with that blowjob with this lady, why I was so precautious and didn't want it to happen was, as we're coming up to the last club that we went up to, everybody in the security has just AK-47s, M-16s, real heavy-duty, like, Russian assault rifles, crazy shit, Call of Duty guns, like, fucking wild stuff. And they all do not look like friendly people. I mean, they don't look like they would come up and be like, would you like some milk and cookies before you go to bed? They aren't nice people.
Well, who the fuck does that?
Well, you know, I would assume like a nice old lady. They didn't have...
When has that ever happened to you? That was your example of
whatever,
a nice
man,
person?
Just a nice person. Like, not a good... They,
so do you zero nice
there
people
were no kind. There was no kindness in these people's eyes. Okay.
The guys with AK-47s that don't want you there.
Yeah, exactly. And like they're like, oh, well, the white guys come in for blowjobs at 1 a.m. This is what happens. And so they don't want to deal with us. A week later, as I'm walking into that, apparently, like they killed like four tourists in that exact place that we were at or shot them for doing some dumb shit, probably, I would assume. And so I was like, oh, well, this is horrible. Why am I here? And then we walk in, and I see two girls wrestling in mud. Like, not mud. It actually wasn't mud. It was whipped cream. I'm sorry.
How much whipped cream does this place have? Jesus.
It was a fucking kitty tub. It was
like
sure
a
living
like
room.
Cool
it was a
whip?
Living room full of whipped cream. And these two girls were just making out and, like, wrestling in the whipped cream. And I was
were
like, holy shit, what is this? And then I turned to my left, and then there's just this guy getting the shit kicked out of him. Like, getting the absolute shit kicked out of him. Some Mexican dude. By these security guards. And everybody's not even paying attention to that. Like, nobody cares at all. Like, this guy is getting murdered, like, right there. And I was just like, oh, my God, dude. This, like, I... Whatever alcohol I had consumed that night, it went to zero after I saw that. I was
that
so
sobered
scared.
You up?
Oh my God, I was terrified. Yeah, I was like, "Why the fuck am I here right now? Like, I don't want to be here." And I was like, "I don't want to
be
why
here.
Why am I in Mexico right now?" I was like, "What? What is happening?" And So then, like, you know, all the girls start coming up to like everybody. And it's a brothel. So what happens is the really rich Mexican cartel members all got, like, all the hot girls. They got all the hot girls, like, really quickly. Like, they called over who they wanted over there. And all the rest of the girls were, like, left over, but they were being escorted by, like, these dudes with guns. So my friend was like...
And you were just standing there?
Oh, I was in a fucking corner posted, just, like, trying to sip a beer and just be like, oh, my God, what am I fucking doing with my life? and my friend came up to us, and he was like, all right, well, we're going to go bang these hookers. Like, we really don't... We really don't want to leave you here, Gareth, so are you sure you don't want to partake in this here? Because we all have to leave, and you'd have to be by yourself. And I was like, oh, well, fucking, when you put it like that, when you were like that, I'll go buy a blowjob then, since my life is on the line here. If I have to stand out here in this absolute madness for like another hour. So I did that. It was incredible. Came with the condom on. That was nuts.
They made you wear a condom?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to do it without it.
Why? Like,
talking about a Tijuana hooker, dude.
Yeah, who cares? Yeah,
it's like I'm like the eighth dick she's seen today, probably.
Oh, yeah.
So huh? I was like, yeah. I'm like, no. No. So, but I was like, holy shit, it happened. It was great. It was a great blowjob. It was fantastic.
With a condom on,
you'd
though?
You think, like, because she does it professionally, you know? I was like... Yeah, she's really good at this with the condom on. And then we left I was like, oh, my God, like, where are my friends? And this girl was like, hey, I want to fuck you. Like, let's fuck. And I was like, absolutely not. Like,
she said it to you in English?
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, for sure. There were definitely signs, hand gestures, and her pants weren't on.
Duh.
And I was just like, no thanks. Like, I just, no. Lo siento. No, ma'am.
I was, that's like, so funny.
No, this is fucked up. But I have this thing where anytime I go into a titty bar or something like a brothel or whatever, I'm not just saying this, but hookers and strippers, they love me, dude.
Yeah, look at you.
They love me. They're like, okay, here's a fresh young white boy. He doesn't look like he's depraved or in here and like most of the 40-year-old gross men that they have to dance on. So they're all over me. So I don't know. And I hate it. I'm like, oh, this is gross. And then all of my other girls that I've talked to recently, like, it sucks, man. Like, they're all fucking... I've talked to a couple girls that I've met, like, just out and about, and it's like, oh, well, she used to work at Hooters, or she was a stripper, or, dude, it's just like the type of girl I'm following. They're crazy. They're absolutely nuts, man. And yeah, again, I think I'm over women entirely at this point.
You really
I'm
think
not
so?
Going to start fucking men, though. I'm pretty positive on that.
You're retired?
I'm not going to hang up the cleats just yet. But I am, like, seriously considering just, like, reevaluating life and who I talk to in terms of sexual relationships. I was hooking up with this girl, and I went over to her house for the first time, like, the other day, and she owns a ferret. And that I will and I hope she listens to this. I will never fucking see her again, ever.
Yeah, you say that now.
No. No way. Could you imagine... Okay, have you ever fucking seen or been around a ferret before?
No.
They're cute and cuddly. They're really cool-looking creatures. However, they have a very distinct odor, like a musk. And
really?
It smells like, if you could imagine... If I ran about 5 miles, and then you came up to me and you took my pants and my underwear off... And you just spread my butt cheeks, and you just took a big old waft. That's what her whole apartment smelled like. So I, like, came in there, and I, like, immediately was like, no. And, like, I knew what that smell was also, because not only do I hate the smell of ferrets, but at a ferret, my neighbor, whenever I was a kid, she had a pet ferret, and I had a pet goose.
You had a pet goose?
I lived on a farm. So I had a lot of different creatures. I had I had geese. I had fucking doves.
You born in a barn?
I had peacocks.
You're the guy from the saying?
We had, no, not the guy from the SAG. We had horses. We had a bovine for a little while.
The fuck is that?
Cow.
Oh.
We had a little cow. We had pigs. We had sheep. We had a bunch of stuff. It was
what
like
happened
three
to
acre. Well, we had a 3-acre plot, and then my landlord, the guy that owned the whole property, he had like a big farm ranch. So he would transport those animals to and from. And yeah, no, we ended up like going out and one night, it was like a rainy night. Why I hate ferrets. It's a rainy night. I hear this like, I don't know if you ever heard a goose before. They're very loud.
Yes.
Now imagine one just getting murdered. So I heard just like this horrible sound in the middle of the night. It's raining horrible, like lightning storms going on. And so I'm like 9 or 10 years old and I run outside in the middle of the night and I find this fucking ferret with that. It just ripped my goose's head off. Mary. Beautiful name.
Mary the Goose.
Mary the Goose. Such a peaceful animal. Really cool animal. I raised it from a hatchling. And
geese are pieces of shit.
Really nice goose. Like I raised it. It was like you could come and pet it and like eat out of your hands. It was really cool. And ripped its fucking head off.
Did you kill the ferret?
I kicked it like a 30-yard field goal. Like I fucking came up and just boom. And it went and it hit a wall and it bounced off the fucking wall. And then it was like, meh, 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 and then just ran off into the darkness.
So you didn't
care. And I was just sitting there like, no, in the rain. Mary! So I fucking hate ferrets forever for that. And the smell. So I was just like, dude, I can't do this. She's pretty cute, but like
you ever,
at the same time.
You ever fuck a girl like while their pets watch and shit?
Yeah, my cat.
I was banging this girl.
My cat just does nothing but watch me.
Really?
Fuck every time.
I fucked this girl and her cat was like on the bed.
Yeah.
And I was like, can you like.
My cat does that
kick
too.
Him? That's weird.
My cat, one time.
It feels wrong.
One time I was eating.
I don't
this.
Even jerk off. If I'm going to jerk off, I put my dog out here in the living room and I close the door. I don't jerk off in front of my dog. I swear to God. If I'm about to jerk off at like 4 in the morning, like I will wake her up. And give her a treat so that she comes out here, and then I'll close the door, and I'll go jerk off, and then I'll let her back in.
Wow, that's really nice, dude.
It feels weird to fucking beat my meat in front of my kid.
They don't know what's going on.
they have an idea, I think.
No, my cat just looks at me.
Okay,
he just
so
looks at me
you're
like
telling
this.
You're telling me that a dog can sense when an earthquake's about to happen? They don't watch their fucking
owner. Oh, they know what's happening.
They don't. Yeah, they're telling me they don't watch their owner
they
beat
their
meat.
They know what's happening. Yeah. But they don't feel shame about it like we do. That's the difference.
Well, I
us.
Do, so go in the living room.
They don't feel shame about
I fucked
it.
That,
like, hey.
I fucked that Mary girl. Married. I fucked the married girl.
Okay.
Not Mary girl. The married girl. I fucked her while Whiskey was like sleeping, and then I woke like when we were done. I rolled off the chick and fucking.
Where is Whiskey? Whiskey.
She's in the room.
Oh,
we closed the door so she wouldn't be bothering us while we're recording.
Oh, I love getting bothered by a dog, dude.
I don't. It distracts me.
Okay.
I have ADHD.
All right. Whatever.
And Whiskey was just watching. I was like, fuck. I felt weird, but then the chick was hot, so I was like, I bet Whiskey's proud.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. He's really happy for you. No, I had my cat.
Or she thought I had terrible form.
My cat, I was hooking up with this girl a couple years ago, and I was eating her out. And, dude, I was eating this girl out for like.
Why is it called that? It's less of like eating. It's more like licking a popsicle.
Lapping up some pussy?
What? Yeah, it's like eating out.
I was just
like
lapping up some pussy. I was just chilling on some clam, dude. Just chowing down on some clam, man. For like 2 hours. This was an experience for me. I ended up like licking this girl's pussy for like 2 hours, and
that's crazy.
Yeah,
bro.
And I'm really good at it, and I couldn't. I don't know what it was. The rotation with my tongue wasn't there. Something was up, but I don't stop until the job's done. I want to know that this girl's come. So I'm like, all right,
you don't
that's
have to
happened,
lie, bro.
Huh? No, I like. I like that's what gets me off. I'm that's my thing. But
are you
anyway,
serious?
Yeah. I like it when a lady enjoys herself. Is that weird to That's weird to you, of course.
I'm selfish, bro.
Yeah, dude. You've got a giant cock. I bet you that's it, right? Yeah. Yep, that's it. Me, not so much. Got
to be about me.
Yeah.
numero uno.
That's the good thing about a guy with an average to small wiener. You know he's going to try
eat
hard.
Some pussy. Yeah.
I'm going to try hard.
You got to do the other thing. You
didn't have that great of a cock, but he tried hard. That's all I'm going for. So
it is nuts. Every time a chick sees my dick, it's like they get like reawakened. It's weird. There's like something comes over them, and I'm like,
never has that happened to me.
Really? Not once.
No one's ever seen my cock and been reawakened. Rape joke aside. But nobody reawakened, dude. No one's ever been like, damn, like super happy. I mean, like my girlfriend, like whenever she was time to fuck, she was like, yeah, let's do this. But that's just more so of it being in a relationship thing, and I'm the only dick that she's seeing right now, you know?
I'd say real talk, like 90% of the chicks that I hook up with, it's the biggest dick they've ever seen.
Yeah.
And they...
You've unfortunately showed it to me way too many times.
I have not.
Yes, you have, Galen. And the fact that you can't remember doing it really makes me mad. Dude, you show me your cock way more times than anyone else has.
It's okay.
In the last 2 years, dude.
It's okay showing guys your dick. Straight, you can show straight.
You're proud.
Guys your dick.
I get it. I'd be proud too if I had a big old creature like yours.
You just can't show it to women. That's the one rule. You can show it to your buddies. You can show it to your buddies. And
you
it's
really wanted to show it to ladies.
You want to, but you can't.
You can't.
Unless they ask.
Unless they ask.
I do this whole thing, bro, where it's like I don't have like. People think that I have like just like the utmost like confidence to like just like go in. I don't even like go in for kisses. I like ask. I have to ask and be like, man, this is like if we were in a movie right now, this is where the main characters would kiss, huh? And then like depending on her reaction, I'm like, all right, cool, now I could go in. I've never just like gone in for a kiss.
Really?
On a random chick or something, or a chick I'm on like a Tinder date with. No, you gotta like.
I don't even.
Like,
that's weird to me because like I don't even know. Like usually whenever I start hanging out with a girl that I've just met, like usually it's because like there's a definite sign like she's grabbing my thigh or something.
Or she starts looking at your lips.
She just starts looking at you or like starts rubbing on your shoulder.
The
or
second
something.
She starts like they start looking at my lips, I know that's what they want. And then so sometimes I'll just be like, I'll literally say some shit like, you want to make out or what? Like just kind of like make it like.
Let's go make out right now.
Something. Yeah, yeah, something. But I've never just like gone in. Like I need consent just for that.
That's how it goes, man. That's how it goes.
Well,
because
it's like also, it's also like embarrassing if you go in for a kiss and they just like reject it off, which I mean hasn't happened. So that's like for me, but because I ask first, like that's my biggest fear being at like a bar and then like a buddy of mine's watching me or like we're doing like a 2-man mission or something. I go in for a kiss and she's like, nah. And then my buddy's just like laughing at me or something. That's like, that's a fear.
Oh, that's a fear. Yeah, no, I don't have that fear. See, like I've never had that. Ever. My whole thing is that I've learned that it's not worth talking to the girl, period, at the end of the day. I think we were talking about this. I've just given up on like trying to find somebody I like having a legitimate conversation with. It happens so fucking rarely now. And yeah, like I used to be like, oh, my mom never got married. That's horrible. Now I'm like, that makes total fucking sense. At 30, I'm like,
your mom never
shit.
Got married?
Well, she didn't keep married. She didn't stay married. She got married. Guy. She got married one time to some guy, Dale, and that lasted like a year. And she had like 6 other marriages. So real good pick, mom. Real good pick. Yeah, like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm like, all right.
Do you miss Dale?
Do I miss Dale? He is dead. And
he's dead.
He is dead now. I never really hung out with him. Old cancer, I think, at the end of his life. He was a cool dude, but
end of his life. How old was he?
70 something.
Oh my god.
Yeah, dude. My mom's 67, so she's old too.
That's crazy.
She's getting there, man. Oh, tell me about it. I watch her just deteriorate now.
I don't want to see my mama get old.
Huh? It's gonna happen.
My mom.
It's gonna happen to you too, man. You're gonna be a creepy old man soon.
No, I'm not, bro. I'm not. You think I'm gonna make it past 40, dog?
You should. Yeah, I think you will.
All things. I mean, you're supposed to. But
if you don't jump off a fucking building, you'll make it past 40.
If I don't, if I'm not like, if I haven't made it by the time I'm 40, I'm killing myself. You see 40-year-olds at, like, open mics and shit? No, thanks. You know what I mean? Like, who are these guys?
Yeah, we won't name names, but me and Patrick were watching some guy one time, and we were just like, oh, dude.
How have you not killed? Dude, there's this guy.
If that's us in the next 10 or 15 years, fucking kill
me.
Dude.
Here's a guy that I've never met him, but he should kill himself in L.A. This guy's name is Nick Country. Right?
Okay.
So he's just this open micer guy who's been doing open mics for like 30 years.
Oh,
like
man. 30 years.
So, and I didn't know that.
Well, at that point, is he just doing it for fun? I don't mind that.
He's trying to like. No, okay, so here's the thing. So this dude, I saw this guy like on an open mic list, and my buddy told me that this guy sucks ass, and he's been doing it for like decades. And I was like,
damn.
Really? And then the Comedy Store posted a potluck lineup. A throwback potluck lineup from like 2004,
uh-huh.
And it was Jesselnik's first time getting on potluck. And the dude who went right before him
was this guy, Nick Country.
It was Nick Country, and this guy had been doing it for like 10 years before Jesselnik, and now Jesselnik's like huge and shit. It's like, how do you not kill yourself? It'd be like, bro, it'd be like if fucking.
Well, Jesselnik's also like he's probably the best one-liner comic that there is right now.
Yeah, but still, you're doing it for 10 years. Okay, let's say tomorrow. Some guy comes up to you and he's like, hey, I'm about to do my first open mic. And then you blink and this dude's on fucking Netflix like next year. You'd be like, what the fuck?
What, 4 years?
And then all of a sudden now you're 45 years old and you're still doing open mics. How have you not killed yourself?
I mean, my whole thing is that I'm planning on making this my career. And within 4 more years from now, this will supplement all my income. That's the goal. That's what I'd like to see. Grab me a beer. That's what I would like to see. I'm ditching sobriety. I'm already ditching sobriety, dude. Fuck it. The comedy's so weird. Like, there are a couple of different people in this scene right now that, you know, have been doing it as long as I have and even started here. Like Bianca and Christina Mariani, who are incredible. They're so good and they're at the same place I am, but I'm not there yet. And I'm like, all right, what is this? Like, what do I got to do? I know I have the jokes. It's just like, okay, well, I think 4 more years, I got to build up this production company, build up some other things. Everybody has a different path in this industry.
Incredible,
but 30
huh?
years?
You think they're incredible?
I think they're really good. Yeah, man.
Incredible?
I think you're incredible, too. I think all of our friends are really good for who
we can't all be incredible.
We're all really good, man. I think, like, there's a really, like, we're really fortunate.
I think your bar's low.
That might be it. I mean, I might be a little bit generous because
even
I have
if I'm talking
some...
about myself, you know, I go up there and I'll do my hour and I do great. But I don't
think
I'm incredible.
I guess I do have
incredible.
I have bias for people here in Austin.
Incredible
just
is like.
Just because this is where I started. Yeah, I guess.
The word
incredible,
incredible
is. All right, we'll tone it down.
You know what I mean? Like,
we'll
Jesus
take
Christ.
Back incredible. They're really good. They can do what they're going to do. And, you know, we all have different paths in this. But 30 years, man. And you haven't done shit.
Shit. Less than shit.
Like, all right. Well, as long as you're having fun at open mics or something.
I
guess power to you.
I can't imagine that
being
fun. But
I would wish, well, you'd think it if you were good, you know, you would keep doing it. Because I couldn't imagine.
But he's not.
Like, I was bad my first couple of weeks, but I realized.
Weeks?
Oh, well, like, I'm talking about truly bad. Like, truly bad. I was still bad. But truly, like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, I remember the first couple weeks of. Me starting comedy was like me jumping on stools and like just being absolutely fucking shithouse crazy. And then I was like, all right, maybe I should tell jokes.
That's funny.
And then I was like, maybe I should write jokes. It was an evolution. And then I was like, all right, well, maybe I should work on this joke I've written.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And like, yeah.
The La Jolla thing, I was like maybe 4 months into comedy. And I got up on potluck at La Jolla. So we drove down from Orange County. And me and Dom, you know Dom?
Yeah.
So if Dom was there, yes, I was probably like a year and a half in, because I've been doing it longer than he has. So I was not 4 months in. It was probably like a year and a half in. And this guy who I'm following goes up there. You get 3 minutes, and this guy goes up there and he goes, "Oh, I just took," and it's packed, and there's like a lot of black people. And this guy goes up there and he goes, "Oh, I just took this DNA test. It turns out we're all at least 2% black. With that out of the way, what's up?" And then just says the N-word, hard R. And it's dead silent. It's dead silent in the room. Like, you can hear chairs creaking. Oh, and he goes, man. "Oh, come on. You guys can say it too." And then says it again. And we're like, all right. And then the fucking host just runs right back up there, grabs the mic out of his hand. And then without doing any time, just goes, "Give it up for next comic, Galen Nash." So I had to run from the back of the room up there.
You had to follow that?
I had to follow that.
Did you go up there and be like, "What up?" Drop the N-word.
Here's the thing.
That would have been so funny.
I was so new into comedy that, no, I did not. But we talked about that on the drive home, and I've talked about it since, where it's like I have the stage confidence and the presence and the moxie to – I probably could have pulled that off.
You could have.
It would have got a huge pop.
It would have gotten a big pop, absolutely.
But, I mean, I just did my set, and I had a great set.
Well, you got to read the room in that situation also.
Well, it was just so – the room was so tense and so awkward that if I had went up and just done that, it would have the room would have erupted.
Yeah. No, hosting or coming up after somebody that is doing really bad is also – it's also like a toss-up for you. You got to spike that volleyball.
Well, for me, it depends. I like when people bomb, and then I get to like reset
the
room. If I don't know, that's what I was saying. Yeah. But I don't know. If I'm on a show and I see when Mike and I are on the road, if you know Mike's opening with 20, and if he's just eating shit, and then I'm like, oh, fuck, I don't even want to go up anymore. Because I'm like, this is probably going to suck dick. But, you know, it's funny because when we're on like a showcase – and then you see your friends bomb, it's fucking hilarious and awesome. But yeah. Then when you're on the road and your friends bomb, you're like, oh, shit. Like, we're here to, like, do a job. And, like, now I don't even want to, like... And then you go up, and then it's like, if you eat shit, it's like, ah, fuck. And then you got to see these people after. And it's like, ah, fuck. It's like, I feel like, do I give you your money back? Or, luckily, it's never happened like that for me. But, like, there has been times where, like, somebody said something, and then, like, half of, like, my opener set just, like, eat shit. And you're like, oh, fuck. And so, like, I've had times where I'll just go back into the green room because I'm like, oh, fuck, I don't want to see this. But for the most part, I like to watch the people's sets before me so I can see, like, what happens in the room so I can make, like, callbacks or something if somebody heckles me or something.
Yeah.
But I hate, like, dude, when I did that theater gig and I bombed at, like
– Was that the one that Shane Gillis opened out as well? Like, when we met him over at Sidebar that one time? And
no,
like, dude, that's Shane. And then you were opening for that big theater or whatever. It was like the first.
It wasn't with Shane.
No. What theater was that you opened at? And it was also where.
Oh, it wasn't Shane... a theater. It was the Harrisburg Comedy Zone.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah, but I didn't bomb those shows.
That wasn't it. Okay.
Those shows were amazing.
Yeah.
But I did bomb at a theater in Kerrville that I got booked through the Comedy Zone.
Man, dude, Kerrville, Texas. Talk about a hard place to do comedy. You're talking about the most racist people.
And old. And old.
You're talking about old racist people when you go to Kerrville, dude.
I did a joke. So I was doing 30. Opening for Billy D. Washington, which was hilarious because Billy D. Washington didn't watch my set at all. Yeah. He went like across the street to like a bar or something, and we were in the green room, and he's like, yeah, he was telling me why he like doesn't want to like watch sets because he was telling me it gets in his head or some crap like that. So he's like, yeah, I just like come in like 5 minutes before, and then I'll just like come out so I'm like refreshed. He's like, I want it to be.
I kind of get that. I don't like listening to other people's comedy right before I'm going up too. I'll do the little pop in, like I'll do the pop in and watch like the opener or top or like the end of it.
Yeah,
but that's pretty much it, you know.
I'm
performing at least.
So I was booked to do 30, and it's a fucking full theater, but it's like everybody there was like over 55.
Yeah.
Except this one table of like frat kids that was there like visiting their grandparents, so they went to a comedy show.
Yeah.
Dude, my first 7-8 minutes. I'm doing great. They're loving the jokes about my mom. They're loving the jokes about like AA. They're like loving the jokes about my family. And then it comes to this part where I had done this joke in Austin twice. And I was like, oh, it's ready to go. And it's, I'm not, I told this story on the last podcast, but, so I'm not going to tell the whole thing, but I told this joke. It's basically about a black dude raping a kid.
Jesus.
In the show Beyond Scared Straight or some shit like that.
It's No.
It's a hilarious joke. The joke that I have is hilarious to anybody that wasn't at that show. They hoped I died, bro. Like, they hoped I died. Like, if I had died on, if somebody had got up and stabbed me, it would have got more laughs than anything I said after that. And yeah, I got literally like all this stuff. It was pretty nuts. But
are you talking about like that one kid that like, have you seen that kid that's like punking the guards during Scared Straight?
I have. No, it's not a joke about an act. It's a fictional thing, basically about how I hate the show Beyond Scared Straight, because you'll sit there and you'll watch this show for like an hour, and then at the end of the show, they put fucking words on the screen, and it's like, oh, fucking Jamarcus robbed his grandma again.
No shit.
You're like, what the fuck? I just watched this for an hour. It didn't even work. And so, like, I was like, dude, I have this idea where, you know, would be really effective and be good for everybody. Like, what if they just let the inmates fuck the kids?
Yeah, that's funny.
And so, too. Like, and then I have this act out that I do, like a full blown act out where I'm like, they wouldn't show it. It's still national TV. They would just show, like, Jamarcus walking into a closet. And then 5 minutes later, he comes out with a little cum on his face. And then he wipes it off and he goes, I'll never steal again. I think it's a hilarious joke. They did not. Because I'm talking about a kid getting raped in this old school ass town.
Yeah, no, it's not good.
But Billy missed my whole set, right? And so he like comes back with like 5 minutes left. And I'm getting literally, and he's like, and I'm like getting off. And then after the show, we were like talking about it. He's like, yeah, I missed all of that. I was like, thank God. Like, I fucking, like, dude, I fucking, the crowd, like, I could see some of their faces in, like, the spotlight, like, just
changing. They were, like,
changing,
ready to kill you, dude.
Changing, yeah. And then I had to, like, stand out back and, like, meet them afterwards. And, like, I think I got nods. I think one old guy said, you tried. And I was like, all right, bro.
You tried?
Yeah. I was like, all right, dude. Thanks, man.
Oh,
you're right.
There's nothing worse than you tried.
You tried. Thanks for coming. You were here.
Oh, fuck off.
Thanks. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for supporting live comedy.
Oh, my God.
Should have stayed home. Thanks, man.
That would have been great. If you just
weren't here, that'd be great.
I wish that little kid that flipped you off at the baseball game that one time was there every time he bombed.
You fucking suck.
He just comes out of nowhere. Fucking suck, dude. Yeah, just,
you know what's funny is I can still, like, that kid's face.
I still remember it too.
I remember the whole kid.
No, I remember the whole experience. It was the best thing.
If I saw that kid again, I would be like, you're the fucking kid that flipped me off of that baseball game.
So everybody, just for the knowledge of this, we went to an Astros game last year to watch Ohtani pitch for the Angels, because Galen's a huge fag and he loves the Angels. And we went to this game where the Astros whooped the shit out of the Angels. And it was so funny. Galen's in all Astros gear.
Angels gear.
Angels gear. Excuse me. I apologize. Very important point.
Detail.
Yeah, in detail. And so he's being a giant asshole the entire game. He's just booing and saying shit. No, you were.
The thing that matters the most is
we were winning by like 6 points.
They made one run.
Yeah, it was 6 or 8 to nothing, and the Angels made one run, and you just lost your shit. You're just going, yeah, on the board. We're on the fucking board. Fuck, you're like flipping people off or talking shit.
I wasn't flipping people off. I was getting up and I was like waving my arms,
you're
like,
doing,
bring it on.
You were just
bring
doing
it on.
Some shit.
So like the whole, dude, three whole sections. Like
this
probably 2,000 people
booing me. It
was
more than that. It was like 5,000 people booing.
All booing me all at once. I was the only Angels fan.
Yeah.
And we were in the second row on the field.
Turning around and looking at everyone looking at you and booing you was one of the craziest memories I'll ever have. We do comedy for a living, and I've never seen so many people boo. One person
one
at
guy.
The same time.
One guy.
I was like, yo, what the fuck is going on? Even Santana was there booing you. We also saw Santana there. He did not admit that he was Santana, but
this guy was
fucking Santana, dude.
And so as all these sections of people are booing me, this kid runs down like 14 rows and in my face flips me off. and goes, and this kid's like 8 years old. This was a kid. It was a little kid. And he goes, "You fucking suck," and flipped me off. And then the entire, everybody that it was just raining booze on me transformed to cheers for this kid.
Yeah, it was.
As he was running up, everybody's high fiving this kid. And I just sat there and I just like, I'll never forget my face.
I love Houston.
Because I was laughing.
I love my city. I love my city, dude.
It put a smile on my face.
Yeah, that's a
huge. I was like, dude, that was fucking hilarious.
That was
you fucking sucked.
That was so Houston, dude. That was
anyway,
awesome.
So last night, I go to the Round Rock Express game with Zach Butkovich, Connor Corsentino, and Jacob Noland because we were going to go see Max Scherzer make a start for his rehab assignment with AAA Round Rock, and they're playing AAA Salt Lake City, which is the Angels affiliate, the Angels AAA team. And so I'm wearing all Angels shit. I know some of these guys, and literally – We started by heckling the umpire because this is actually what was really funny. We're on the first baseline right behind the umpire, second row, and there's nobody in front of us. We're front row, and this is Dell Diamond. So the umpire is 15 feet away from me. He could hear our regular conversations, let alone us screaming shit at him. And so Hunter Dozier, the Angels or the AAA team's first baseman, check swings, holds his swing. Umpire rings him up, ends the inning, right? So we're fucking giving it to this umpire. Boo, you know, check your eyes, you bum. Just giving it to this guy. Doesn't turn around, doesn't look at us once, right? And so then the next inning, Dozier's at first base, playing first base. Umpire's right there, and some guy, there was a ball that doesn't swing. The first pitch doesn't swing, and I yell out. I was like, "Did Dozier swing at that one too?" And the fucking Dozier turns around and starts laughing his fucking ass off.
Oh my
like he
God.
Turns, he looks, he came out, started arguing with the umpire, and we were like, "Yeah, let him hear it," like all this stuff. And I was like, "Did Dozier swing at that one too,
great.
Or what?"
That's great.
And the umpire, the Dozier turns, looks past the umpire, makes eye contact with me, and starts laughing his ass off. And I was like, "Dude, this is great."
Yeah.
And so then, Butkovich starts like just heckling all the players, "Nice hit, bum," like all this stuff, and we're just like giving it to these players. All of a sudden, number 8, Martin or whatever, he like lost his temper, like on Zach, and we were giving it to him. And I'm sitting
this
here,
is
like
pretty cool,
and I'm sitting here with like full Angel shit. I've never seen players like lose their temper.
This is a Rangers player, right? Or what?
Angels. And I'm sitting there in like full angel shit. Now, it's this guy who's never seen the majors, but it's your AAA. You're still supposed to be professional.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? Like, this is shit that like...
Well, no, Blake Taylor, right? That's the one that did... Or who was it? What was his name?
Cole Tucker.
But
that's a different... This is what I'm about to tell you happened before the Cole Tucker thing.
Okay.
And so number 8 like pops out, and Butkovich was like, "Nice hit, you bum." And the guy... who's waiting? So he made the last out. So he's just standing on first base waiting for somebody to bring him his glove so he could go out to right field. And so Butkovich yells, "Nice hit, you bum." And he turns around and he's like, "What was that?" And he walks over to the netting. So he's now 2 feet away. Like if the net wasn't there, he could grab us. like that close. And he goes, "What did you say?" And Buckford literally looks in my face. He's like, "I said you suck," into his face. And then he was like, "What?" And then he has to be like held back by number 2, who's Jordan Adams, who we were also heckling and stuff. But he's one of the Angels' top prospects.
For sure.
And so he like pulls him out. He goes out into right field, and he's still like looking at us, and he's pissed. And I was like, "Yo, Zach, it would be hilarious if you go out into the right field lawn and just start berating him out there." And so, dude, it's quiet in the stadium too. And so, like, we're sitting from a distance, you just hear, hey, you're a bum." And the game stops because the player turns around and he's like, "God damn it!" They start yelling. They start yelling at each other. And so then. There's a pitching change, and so that whole pitching change, they're just yelling at each other, and the guy's like, the player's yelling at him, just go home. He's like telling him to like go home, and Buffy's just like, "You fucking suck," like all that stuff. Bro, he comes back over to our section where we're sitting with like 4 beers in his hands because a bunch of fucking Rangers fans bought him beers for screaming at this guy. So he comes back with 4 Bud Lights, and we're like, "Dude, what the fuck?" And so he sits down. We're still giving it to him, right? Now, Cole Tucker, who is married to Vanessa Hudgens, plays second base for the AAA Angels team.
I'll just get some effect for this. I'm going to look up Vanessa Hudgens nude, right?
And so he starts yelling at Cole Tucker, and he can't handle it. He snaps immediately. Cole Tucker's at first base, taking a lead, and Zach's like, yeah, spread your legs like your girlfriend, you bum. And he turns around, and he was like, what? And he was like, I have your girlfriend's nudes. And he was like, he snaps. He's like, and he goes, hey, just you think because that net's there, I won't beat your ass? And Zach's like, you're right. You won't. You won't beat my ass. And then he has, dude. So then.
Also, what a fucking dumb decision if he did end up fighting him. Because now he just owes
money?
Zach fucking hundreds of thousands of dollars.
For just assaulting some guy.
Yeah,
in the
you
stand.
Know a lawyer's there just like, hey, I'm going to fucking, I'm getting in on this.
Call me anytime.
Call me right now. Like, if that happened, there would be some guy that just came up.
Well, the people that were sitting behind us, they had their phones out, and they were, like, ready to record, because it was, like, it was about to be, like, Malice at the Palace. It was like,
dude.
These players, or she just Googled them?
I'm trying to find Vanessa Hudgens' titties.
I think I have them in my camera roll somewhere.
Yeah, I'll let you know. I'll find them in a moment.
You got to go to Celebrity Jihad. CelebrityJihad.com.
You know about this stuff?
Oh, yeah.
You can just Google image. Usually they come up.
They got pretty good about hiding it now.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you got to go to CelebrityJihad.com.
Ooh, yeah. Let's see.
Anyway, so he has to get held back. And then the inning ends. They go to the dugout. Now they're coming out on the field, and but the inning ends with Jordan Adams hitting a pop fly into the infield to end the inning. Adams is now standing by where we are, and we're giving it to him. That was the best hit you had all night. And it was like a pop fly. And he turns to us, and so we're like, oh, shit. Like, here we go again. But instead, he was actually professional, and he was like, he shrugged, and he goes, you're right. And then the other, it's number 8, and Tucker come out, and Zach stands up, and he's just giving it, just screaming, I have a girlfriend's nudes, just screaming, dude, I'm a fucking jerk off on my phone to your girlfriend's nudes, like, just screaming at him, bro. And there's sections of the, like, our whole section is dying laughing. They're dying laughing, especially at how mad he's getting.
No shit, dude. He was, that's awesome, the fact that you got a reaction out of it.
Not just reactions. He was about to jump into the stands.
Dude, that's so fucking cool.
He had to get held back. And then the umpires went and met, and they went and talked to somebody. They stopped the game. They stopped the game. And then I was like, oh, we're getting booted. And so me and Jacob, like, get up, and we're about to leave. I was like, let's go. We're getting kicked out. And then sure enough, you know, 5 security people and, like, 3 cops escorted us out.
Yeah,
but
sure.
the security guard that was our main point of contact, not one of the ones trailing us, but the one that we're actually interacting with and talking to, he was like, dude, that was hilarious. We've been hearing about you guys on the radio all night. they had been communicating about us on the radio all night. And they didn't kick us out until the umpires threw us out of the game. The umpires threw us out of the game, bro. And then we're getting kicked out. And the guy was like, look, we're not going
to
take
that. Just goes to show you, if it's funny, yeah, you can do whatever you want.
The umpire was getting a kick out of it, bro. He was like, he was just stoked we weren't yelling at him anymore.
No, it's just nuts that the fucking, nuts that this player, what's his name, Cole Tucker?
Cole Tucker. He was refusing to play.
That's so funny.
He was refusing to play unless we got thrown out of the game.
Man, dude.
And it was nuts because the guy was like, look, I'm not going to take your IDs. It would be hilarious if you guys came back tomorrow.
Wait, is that today?
Yeah.
Dude, when is the game?
Probably at 7.
I'm down to go tell Cole Tucker about his wife's pussy.
I don't know. I think we would get assaulted. We would, like, for real.
Let's do it, man. We get money. I'm looking for a class action lawsuit. I just got laid off.
Yeah.
Let's do it, dude. I don't know.
I got kind of scared towards the end. Like, when he was, like, legit getting held back, I was like, oh, he's actually.
No. I'll take an ass whooping from Cole Tucker to get some Vanessa Hudgens money.
Yeah, they are married, so it's like, what's
dude,
hers
he's
is his.
Got money. Well, he's a professional ball player,
he's
dude.
He's AAA.
Well, he played in the majors, though.
For a
little bit. That means he's got at least $10
million. No?
He can buy
what?
Me a wardrobe.
He's smoking crack. He was probably on a rookie minimum contract of $925,000.
Oh, that's true, probably. But he is fucking Vanessa Hudgens and married to her. So
we would for sure get something. It doesn't matter what we say. He can't.
He isn't saying that his spouse is Vanessa Hudgens.
How'd they even meet?
It's not on his Insta or on his Wikipedia. It's saying they're not married.
They got married last year. I saw it on his Instagram because Zach tagged him. Zach tagged him on his story and said, "Look at this."
Called him a fucking bum.
Yeah, he tags him on his story. And he goes, at Kotuck, had us kicked out because he can't hit a curveball, and we had his girl's nudes hit BP instead of trash talk, pussy. Crazy. Crazy. That
and
was
you
the
know
first
you
time.
Can,
I,
like,
that was the first time. Yeah, and you know Cole Tucker saw it.
You know he saw it.
You know he saw
I
it.
I would be looking at my storyline like, fucking, let me see it. I want to see his fucking thing. So
it would be so I was hoping that Cole Tucker would, like, comment, or, like, Vanessa Hudgens would comment on one of Zach's posts, like, you call this comedy, you bum, or something like that.
That would be so funny.
They just start heckling him in his own comment section. I don't know. I'm not going to lie to you. There was a point where I did get a little scared. It was funny because when Zach was over at the other side and then they ran by us, I was like, I don't know that guy. Because they kept looking at me in like an angel shit, being like, what's going on here? Like, why are you fucking yelling at us? And it's funny because it's like, dude, I know a couple of the players, and it's like,
she released those nudes to Drake Bell. That's how that's got. Yeah. And Drake Bell, dude, did you watch that new Dan Schneider? What was it? Is it Dan Schneider? I can't remember. The guy from Nickelodeon that made all of those different shows. And then there was all those.
Dan Snyder, yeah. I didn't watch the documentary, but I saw like a little bit of highlights.
I watched
Drake
it.
Was getting just pounded in the ass.
Yeah, that was the only good part about the whole documentary.
That's good to you?
Well, I mean, why else am I watching that documentary?
Yeah, I guess.
I want to know about all the depraved shit that happened behind the scenes. And, yeah, no. I guess Vanessa, was she Disney? She was Disney Channel.
Disney
Vanessa
star,
Hitchin.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's Disney star, so she didn't get in it. But I guess she knew Drake Bell, and he released her titties to the public.
A hero.
Hero. True hero. Poor asshole. His poor asshole.
Anyway, we've been recording for over an hour. I got to take a shit.
Okay. All right.
This was a lot of fun. Love you,
Gareth.
Wait,
was that the rest of the evening that you had? I thought you had a crazier evening after that.
Yeah, but I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. All right. Whatever.
It's something that can't be public yet until I close the deal.
Okay. Cool. We'll talk after.
I leave the final minute of the podcast to the guest to say whatever, plug whatever, any final parting words of wisdom you might have in case you pass away on the way home.
Parting words
this
of
next
wisdom.
Next minute is all you, Gareth.
Well, I didn't know I was supposed to give parting words of wisdom, but if I had to say anything, it's that life is short and make sure to tip your bartenders. Also, I'm doing shows all over town. Please follow my page and my production company's page, Yuppie Dum Dum. As well as I will have a new show coming up monthly at multiple different venues downtown, either Creek, Sunset, or hopefully Black Rabbit. We haven't really gotten a yes or no from them yet, but it would be a storytelling show called Spill Milk. So that will be monthly. It's going to be a ton of fun. People like Galen and other really good comics from around town are going to be here. And that's pretty much it for me. So thank you, Galen, for having me today.
Thank you for finally doing it.
Yeah, for sure. Peace out. A-Town down.